Hello. Can you hear me?
Awesome. Great. Better. Sorry, I always turn it off. Makes me nervous having it on.
Okay, so it's good to be here again at Salem Baptist Church. Lord, this is a big day for me and my family. There's going to be a vote afterwards, but I want to challenge you right now to put all that aside and listen to what I have to say, because like I said before, I'm not a preacher, I'm just a teacher, and that's what I want to do today. I just want to teach the Word of God to you, and I want you to listen to it, because God is powerful and it changes us. Okay, this day is not about me, it's about Him. So I just want to start out just by recapping what we've already talked about since I've been coming here. We kind of had a series, and I wasn't even necessarily planning that it would become a series, but it did become kind of a series, and that is, what is the gospel? And we've been answering this question because, again, out there in the world, what we see is an oversimplification of the gospel. We see, you know, come to Jesus and you get eternal life. And that's what you hear the most. And yes, that is true. There's truth in that, but it's also separated from a lot of other truth, which weakens the gospel. And we can see that in our culture. We can see that in our society and how we treat the gospel. So what we went over the first week was that Jesus is the Messiah, the King. He is reigning in heaven right now. He is the King. And I don't care what people say about that, He is the King. If they say anything separate to that, they're deceived. They don't know the truth. He is the King. He came to establish His kingdom. And part of establishing that kingdom was, yes, dying for our sins so that we could be a part of that kingdom. But He will rule over that kingdom, and that is why He came. The second week we talked about the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus didn't leave us alone, but He sent the Holy Spirit to be with us so that we could have a relationship with God. And that the Holy Spirit is a person of God, and that we have that opportunity to dig into the Holy Spirit and actually know God every day walking with us. It's like the Garden of Eden eternally, right? And then last week, we talked about the truth. And as we looked at the truth more and more, we realized that Jesus is the truth. He is the embodiment of truth. Truth comes from Him. And that because He's the truth, guess what? We can put our faith in Jesus, because that truth will set us free. This is the gospel, right? And if you leave any of those things out of the gospel, you've weakened it. You've taken some of the message away. And I think we need to be cognizant of what we're communicating to people. So today we get to the good part, right? The part that everybody likes to talk about. Okay, I finally get to it. Is that, yes, there's salvation in Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about that today. And just kind of go back to John chapter 4, because we've been kind of hanging out there with this Samaritan woman that Jesus is talking to, and look a little bit more at what Jesus says to her. So in verse 7, John chapter 4, again, this is a meeting between Jesus and this Samaritan woman that He really shouldn't even be talking to, according to their traditions, but Jesus does anyway. So there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to Him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I'm a Samaritan woman?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water." She said to Him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Wow. Just think about her hearing this. Ooh, eternal life. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I will not be so thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." Obviously, that was her response. Yeah, I want this eternal water. That sounds really good, right? And when we look at Jesus and what he's offering us, we have to realize something. We have a need. Okay, Jesus is coming and meeting this woman, and she has a need that she doesn't even know that she has, right? She's wanting water. She's thinking about her physical needs. She's thinking about this thirst that she has. But listen, there is a thirst in us that we have that needs to be quenched. And here Jesus, meeting with this woman, is saying, guess what? I have an answer to that thirst that you have. That thirst to know God. And most of all, that thirst, the need that we have for redemption. Because there is sin in this world, and we all have experienced it. We all have done that. We've all partaken. Since the garden, you look at Adam and Eve. Adam sins. He, again, like we talked about last week, he chose the lie over the truth of God. And he brought sin into himself. And that caused God to have to disassociate himself with that sin. Because that's who God is. God is perfect. God is good. When he sees sin, he has to punish it. He has to do something about it. He can't just let sin go. Because sin is bad. It's bad for us. And sin brings death. What kind of God would be good if he let death just have its reign on the earth? That's not a good God. I serve a good God. He's like, this is sin. We need to punish it. We need to do something for this, and that's part of the nature and character of God, that sin needs to be punished. And this is a problem that we end up as humans. And we can't point back to Adam, right, and say, well, it's Adam's fault. Because every day we make decisions about what we're going to do, and some of those decisions don't necessarily line up with what God's will is. And truthfully, evil, sin, that is basically defined by the opposite of God's will. Because God exists, and he has a will, and he has a definition, and he can define good, sin exists, because sin and evil is just the opposite of God. It's just the other thing. Right? So we choose God, we want to choose God, but yet there's this other choice, and he's given us that choice because he wanted to have love between us. Right? He wanted us to have a choice to choose him or not to choose him, because that's what love does. Right? So we find ourselves in this predicament where we sin, we've fallen short of the glory of God, right? And we do it, and listen, we are so trapped in it that we can't see it. There are things that we do that we just don't get are bad. Because we grew up in a sinful world. We've grown up with it all around us. We've become callous to it. Our thoughts, the way that we think, it's just not right because of sin. It doesn't align up with God. So we, in our situation, we have this need, this thirst for redemption that God has to provide for us. Because we can't do it on our own. And we need to understand that. So we need a Savior. And that's what that boils down to. We needed a Savior. And here Jesus is sitting in front of this woman saying, listen, I have the solution to that thirst in you, that need in you for redemption. In Romans 3, we read the struggle that the Israelites had been under for the longest time. In Romans 3, it says, now we know, this is verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Good verse to put in your memory banks there, right? Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you can imagine what this was like for the Israelites, because God delivers the law. We talked about that last week again. They come down from Mount Sinai. This is how you should be behaving. And then all of a sudden, the law is there. And they're looking at the law going, I got to do all that. And they couldn't do it. So every time they looked at the law, it becomes this beacon reminding them of how far they are from God. And this was the law, the judgment that was on them is like, I can never get there. I can never do that. So the law became this weight upon them. And this was the relationship that the Israelites had with the law. And Jesus, you know, Paul in this in Romans is acknowledging that, but Jesus acknowledges that as well. He said, listen, you know, you can't do the law. We all fall short of God's glory. We're so far away from that mark. We're so far away from that, you know, measuring stick that we can't do anything about it. So we need a Savior, don't we? But you know what? God had a plan for this. He didn't just leave us to it. So in Romans 3, if you keep reading, there's a plan that follows that. Amen? Romans 3:24. Being justified as a gift, his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. Okay, so this is the answer. This is the living water that Jesus is saying, listen, I have this living water, and that living water is faith in me. Right? And through that faith in me, you guys get access to God's grace. What does that mean? See, God's grace is his favor. It is his mercy. And we have access to God's favor and God's mercy through faith in Jesus Christ. We have redemption, right? Redemption. Basically, redemption was buying somebody back with a debt. It's like, you know, when you're kidnapped and there's a ransom paid, that's what that word redemption means. It means to be ransomed. It's like, I'm paying your ransom, and that's what Jesus Christ did. And what did he pay it with? He paid it with his blood on public display. And now we have redemption. That thirst that we have for redemption, that need that we have for redemption, Christ is like, here it is, and it's in me. Why did he go through all that? Well, it tells us. If you keep reading, it says, this was to demonstrate his righteousness. We're talking about the Heavenly Father, God. And remember, Jesus is God. Because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So what does that tell us? Why did Christ have to hang on that tree and die and spill his blood? It's because God is righteous. And he wanted to show us his righteousness. Because God has to punish sin. He had to do something for sin. So he took that upon himself in Jesus Christ. And when you look at the cross, when you look at that suffering, it is literally a picture of God's righteousness. Because Jesus Christ was perfect. He led a perfect life. He didn't deserve any of that. And then God takes the whole wrath of the world, all those people before that he had overlooked. That's what the verse says. He was overlooking that until Christ came. Right? But he had to do something about it, and he overlooked it because he knew at one point in history Jesus Christ was going to come and he was going to sacrifice himself, and through that sacrifice we have redemption.
Amen.
So our God is a righteous God. And guys, some of you guys would be like, well, that's just not fair. Well, you look at some of the sins in this world. What happens if they go unpunished? You know, think about the worst sins that you can think of. Is it not right that those things are punished? Is it not right that something is happening because of the sin and the death that those things bring on people? Of course it's right. And God is good, and that's why he punishes sin. But we, through faith in Jesus Christ, we have redemption. That is part of the gospel. Amen. And it's the gospel that we all love, isn't it? It's the gospel that we can get really excited about. I'm not going to hell. Right? Yay! It's like, thank you, Jesus. But listen, Christ's sacrifice was not a surprise. This was not something that just sprung up on God, like, oh, we sinned, and God was like, well, what am I going to do about that? Or, you know, the Israelites ran away. What am I going to do about that? And then some other people sinned. He's like, I don't know, maybe I'll send my son, right? This was not a surprise to God. In Acts 2:22, it says, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as yourself know, this man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. Predetermined by the foreknowledge of God. God knew this from the beginning. This was his plan from the beginning. It glorifies his son. And listen, the righteousness and goodness of God only shines brighter on the backdrop of sin and death and destruction. And this was God's plan. 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed by perishable things like silver or gold from the futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ, for he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, through him, all believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so your faith and hope are in God. Again, for he was foreknown before the foundation of the world. So before we were even created, God had this plan in mind for us for redemption. He had a way for us. The living water existed before we were even created. And here Jesus is telling this woman what the answer to that is. And that's the beauty of our God. He was thinking about us from the beginning. Even though we were going to sin, even though we were going to cause a lot of destruction and a lot of evil, he was still thinking about us and providing a way. When you look at the temple, when you look at all the things the Israelites had to go through, all the ceremonies, like every year, you've got the Passover, you've got the Passover, and then you've got the Atonement Day, and you've got all of these different markers that are showing us God's mercy, that are pictures of God's mercy. They're all shadows and reflections of Jesus Christ on the cross. These were all just like little short term, this is going to hold you over until Jesus comes. This is going to display your faith in me until Jesus comes. And then Jesus is going to do it once and for all. And that's beautiful, guys. And so, again, we get to the message everybody likes to hear. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, when I look at my life and I look at the things that I've done and I've looked at me running from God, I've had my Jonah moments. You know, I've had my prodigal son moments where I ran from God and I displeased God and I sinned and I lived for the world. You know, knowing that God has my back on that and God covered me through faith in Jesus Christ, man, that's not the law. The law sat there in judgment. This is the grace and mercy of God. And now I can look upon the grace and mercy of God. I don't got to look at the law and just be fearful. I don't have to be fearful of God all the time that I'm not living up to a standard because Jesus did it for me. Jesus loved me so much that he did all of that for me. He stood on that cross and he suffered our punishment for me and for you. And that is good news, isn't it? That is the gospel. Grace through Jesus Christ is God's gift to us. It is a free gift. We don't earn it. We don't do anything to get it. It's just a free gift, right? This is what Jesus is calling us. It's like, here you go. Take it. Do you want it? And we can accept that. And anybody, you know, who's thinking right and thinking about the truth is going to accept that gift. But unfortunately, the world doesn't do that. Romans 10, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then the famous John 3:16 that most people have memorized. I memorized that when I was like 6 years old, I think. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So if I believe in Jesus, I'm good. And we need to spread that news. We need to spread news that like wildflower. We need to be telling everybody we know about that news, because everybody we know knows it. I just want you to imagine yourself hanging on a cliff, okay? And Alex Holland, who's an amazing climber, couldn't even climb this cliff. It was just, it's unclimbable. And you're hanging way down on that cliff, and you've got miles and miles to go on that cliff. And you're just sitting there going, oh my gosh, I gotta climb this cliff. That's the situation we find ourselves in. We can't do it. We need help. And then a rope drops down, right? And you see the rope, and you look up, and way up there, there's somebody saying, hey, just grab onto the rope, and I'll pull you up. See, that's Jesus. That's what Jesus has done for us. He's dropped a rope to us in a situation that we have no answer for, and he's saying, just grab on. I will do the work. I have done the work already. And he's just waiting to pull you up, but you're sitting there on your rock going, oh, I don't know, it looks pretty scary trusting somebody like that. And there are a lot of people in this world that won't make that decision. That won't make that decision, just grab on the rope and trust Jesus. To believe in Jesus. They're looking up at Jesus saying, ah, he ain't powerful enough to do this. Or I've got to earn my way. They won't grab onto that. Or maybe they grab onto the rope and they're trying to climb and do the rope at the same time and just making a mess out of it. I see a lot of people like that. Okay, they're walking through the motions, but they're not really believing in Jesus. They're still believing in themselves. They still think that somehow they're gonna help themselves up the top. It's not gonna happen. It's too hard of a climb. You gotta trust Jesus. He's the key. He's our Savior. And then there's some people, listen, they're hanging on their rock and they see other people and they're like, hey, you know, this Jesus guy will pull you up. Why don't you get on this rope? And they're just, you know, so the person gets on the rope and Jesus pulls them up and then drops the rope back down and they still won't get on the rope. That's the person that, you know, when Jesus meets at the end of time, he says, depart from me, I never knew you. But they're like, wait a minute, I did all these amazing things in your name. You know, I'm calling people to your name, but Jesus is like, you never knew me. But listen, if you believe in Jesus, part of believing in Jesus is believing in the truth that he spoke. And part of that is he wants to know you. He wants to get to know you. So if you believe in Jesus, you're going to get to know Jesus. It's part of the walk. It's part of belief. So what does it mean to believe in your heart? See, there's an intellectual belief that we can have, but then there's a real belief that we can have that leads to action, right? There's a real belief that's deep down inside of our heart, not just up here. And we need to make sure that we believe in Jesus, because that's what's going to save us, is believing in Jesus. Not me, not the thought of Jesus, not a Jesus that I've created, but believing in Jesus. Because there is an intellectual belief that's going to get you in trouble. But you know what? If you know Jesus and you have a relationship with him, you don't have to worry. Because Jesus is doing the pulling. And as he's pulling you up that mountain, you might swing a little bit. You know, you might swing off his path a little bit, but you're still on that rope. You're still saved. And you know, as you get close to the top, what happens? Swing a little less. You swing a little less. You're getting closer and closer to the image of Christ. And that's the sanctification work that Jesus wants to do in us. But you've really got to believe in your heart. That's the ticket. That's what saves us. And we're going to see fruit in our life from that belief. In John 4, verse 27, we see what this woman does after she hears about this living water. What does this woman do? In verse 27, it says, "At this point, his disciples came and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman, yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why do you speak to her?'" So they're not worried about this amazing truth that he is giving this woman. They don't even care about what he's saying. They just care that he's with some Samaritan woman, and they're like, "Huh? That's weird." But here Jesus is literally telling them the truth that's going to save them. "So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, 'Come see a man who told me all these things that I have done.'" This is not the Christ, is it? "They went out of the city and were coming to him. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all the things that I have done.' So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 3 days. Many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, 'It is no longer because of what you said that we believed, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world.'" So what was the response of this woman? "I'm going to go tell other people. Because this is good. If there's living water out there and this guy has it, I want other people to know about it." She went home and she started telling people, "This guy knows everything about me. This guy's the Messiah." She was excited about it. And that is where we should be, right? Because we have been forgiven of so much. Our gratitude and our love for Jesus Christ, for what he's done for us, should just motivate us to want to spread this gospel. Because that is part of the gospel. And when you look at its entirety, we should be out there spreading it, because it is good news and people need to hear it. And without it, there is death. Matthew 28:18. And you've heard this many times if you've been in church. "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go there, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age." So the response, guys, to the gospel, when you hear it, our calling, the calling of it, this is the natural outpouring of the gospel, is discipleship. It's becoming a disciple of Jesus. That is the natural thing that you should do when you hear the gospel. It's like, "I want that. Let me follow Jesus." And that's what he's called us to. He's called us to be disciples, to be his students. And disciples don't just sit there. Okay, disciples do the work of their teacher. They go out and they tell other people, and they bring other people to this teacher so that they also can hear the word of God that's going to save them. That's what a disciple of Jesus is going to do. Is we are called to do this, to be his disciples, to be his students. And that's not an easy calling, is it? And listen, I've heard preachers, you will never hear this from me, saying that your life is going to get all fixed as soon as you come to Jesus. I've heard that. You know, you're going to be a millionaire. You know, God's going to bless you with money, and you're going to have the house that you want, and you're going to have the gold chain that you want. You're going to have the car that you want. You're going to have all these cool things. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care about those things. I care about my salvation.
Amen.
That is worth more than gold. And yes, there may be times when God blesses you. But you know when Jesus sent his disciples out, what he said to them? Let me read this in Matthew 10. "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware for men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you will say, for it will be given you in the hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of my Father who speaks in you. Brothers will betray brothers to death, and fathers his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved." Wow, sign me up. Whoa. But if you believe in Jesus, you understand the end is not here. This is not the reward. Nothing we get here is the reward. The reward comes in heaven when we are remade and God frees us from this and gives us a new body and we enter the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That is the reward. I cannot wait. But listen, if you call me to be your pastor, I'll be calling you to be a disciple. That's going to be pushing you to. It's like, how do we become better disciples of Christ? How do we walk out that great commission? And I'm going to be loving on you, but I'm also going to be calling you to do things that may be uncomfortable. Because that's what God can do sometimes. I just want to let you know that. Because I have been called to make disciples. You have been called to make disciples. We've all been called to make disciples. God has just literally delegated that responsibility to us. There are people out there in the thickets. They're in the ditches. They're trapped. They're hurting. They're lonely. They're out there, lonely sheep out there of Jesus. The flock of Jesus is out there in the world, and they need someone to come to them and rescue them. God has a plan for them. God has everything that he needs to save them, but he's called us to go find those people and to bring them in, to bring them back into the flock. That's what disciples do. They spread the good news. And there's some people out there that are hurting and they need some love and they need to hear the good news of Christ, especially in this crazy world that we're starting to find ourselves in. And it's not gonna get any easier unless some revival happens in this country. So I challenge you guys today to just really look at your heart. Where is your heart? Is your heart for discipleship? Is your heart really for learning what Jesus called us to? Is your heart really to follow him wherever he takes you? Because if you do, it will set you free. That is amazing. And that's what I live for. That's why I love Jesus so much. Because I know I can trust that. So right now, I just want you to bow your heads. I just want to invite you again to be a disciple of Christ. And some of you guys have never made that decision. You're still on the mountain. You haven't grabbed the rope. You're looking at the rope going, I don't know if I'm in for this. That can be scary. But I'm going to tell you, the alternative ain't going to work out for you. And if that's you and you've never made that decision, I want you to make that decision right now in your heart. And when we sing our closing song, I want you to come up here and I want you to confess that before us. That belief in the heart that you are putting in Jesus Christ. If you have never made that commitment. And if you have already, and you just find yourself, you just want to rededicate yourself to being Christ's disciple, to be a disciple of Christ, his student, putting him above all other things. I want to invite you to do that too. I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for all of us. Dear Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for what you've done on the cross. You are such an amazing God, and we do not deserve you. We do not deserve anything that you give us. And I just pray that we can, out of that, the gratitude that comes in our heart from what you have done, I pray that we can just put all of ourselves in you and throw off the world and follow you unashamedly. Be your disciples, no matter what comes, and trust you to take care of us. Thank you for each and every person in this room that you've brought in today. And I pray, Lord, that you work in their life, that you bless them, Lord, and that you keep them in your presence. In Jesus' precious name, I ask and pray. Amen.
Amen.